Well, before I launch into my talk proper, I just want to say a couple of things this morning. We're trying to cut down on notices, but first I'd like to thank all the people who've done a lot of work this week. Over half term, we've had people painting out in the lounge, doing ceiling and walls freshen it up. We've also had people labouring with a rug doctor on the carpets, and they are considerably improved. So I'd like to just thank people for all that hard work, and there's probably more work to follow, so listen out if you feel like licking paint onto walls or whatever. No, putting a lick of paint onto walls, that's probably the better way of putting it. Also, we're trying a little experiment. We've rejiggled things at the back. And I mention this partly from a safety perspective, that I'm well aware it is a fire exit. So obviously, if we ever have a fire, you may find that you need to push the sound desk over rather than risk being trampled in the stampede. So it is on casters, so it will move. But we've swapped over for a month where the chairs and tables are, so that the creche could be on the opposite side at the back from where it normally is. The reasoning behind that is that often when people come to church for the first time, they sit as near the door they've come into as possible because it's the safest place to be. So we thought it might be easier for them if the creche isn't immediately behind them. So we're trying that for a month, and we'll see how it goes. Do let Linda and I have feedback about those changes, and we can look at that when we review in a month's time how that little experiment has gone. Well, the sermon proper. Healing. There we are. You don't have to go too far through the gospel narratives before you find an account of Jesus healing someone who's sick. And the more of the gospels you read, the more accounts you find. And you realize that Jesus was in the business of healing sick people. And then in Luke 9, which is interesting for us, Jesus commissions the disciples to go out and preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke writes that he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. And Luke concludes his paragraph by writing that they went from village to village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Maybe if you look at the passage later on, you'll find that maybe the secret to their success is the fact that they didn't even take a change of clothes. Whiffy preaching, we call that. I find myself wondering quite how that works out. But they didn't seem to take spares of anything. So there we go. In Acts 5, we read that the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. People brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats. Crowds came bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. We even get that description that they move people into positions where Peter's shadow would fall on them, because they had faith that they would be healed through that. I did walk up and down on the carpets last weekend to see if my shadow falling on them might clean them, but it didn't work. If anyone has got that, or that they can cast their shadow on walls and they become miraculously painted, we'd love to hear from you. But it's exciting that Jesus healed people who were sick, the disciples healed people who were sick, and not in ones and twos, lots of people were healed. The word all crops up several times, even in a story where we hear about Jesus being unable to heal many people there because of their unbelief, because it was his hometown, that actually there were still people who brought some to be healed, and they were. So the first question that we might ask, and I'm going to do this morning's talk by a series of questions and answers, is, was this healing limited to Jesus and his immediate disciples, the initial 12? Was it just them for whom this happened? And that, I suppose, is the fundamental question we need to ask. It lets us off the hook if the answer is it really is only them. So in Acts 9, we read of Saul, who'd been blinded during his encounter with the risen Jesus on the Damascus Road, being healed of his blindness by Ananias, a regular follower of Jesus, or disciple, as he's called in the passage, but clearly not one of the 12, and not Saul or Paul, who counted himself an apostle because of that miraculous encounter with Jesus. So clearly Ananias is not one of those counted in the apostles, but on that occasion at least he healed someone who was blind. Paul had a pretty special place in the early church. On one occasion he was speaking for a long time, and one of his listeners, a young man called Eutychus, sank into a deep sleep and fell out of the window where he sat. He fell three floors and was dead when they got downstairs. But Paul, we read, restored him to life. That was quite a healing. But Paul wasn't one of the original 12, although he would claim an apostolic role. There seems to be a pattern of people being healed that continued with Peter and the others, but also Saul or Paul, as he came to be known, people like Ananias, who wouldn't claim an apostolic succession. And in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes that to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. We looked at this passage the other week. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. And the list goes on, but I want to draw your attention to the fact that there are several of these lists in the New Testament. They're not all the same. They overlap. But here, healing is mentioned in the list, and it's in the plural, gifts of healings. It's definitely plural in the Greek. So if we accept that God's Holy Spirit in us can bring some of God's power to work in and through us to bring about his purposes in the world today, then one of the things that may happen is that sick people may get healed. So it's firmly of my belief that God's Holy Spirit in us may heal sick people today. And there are bound to be questions buzzing around in your head at this point. So I'm going to unpack what I've said in a few moments. But I want to invite a couple of people to share testimonies first. So Jane, if you'd like to come out and share something that you emailed to me a week or so ago.
Yeah. Shobert was our Nepali guest house cook in Nepal, and she was pregnant with her third child, and she'd been in labour for at least 6 hours, probably longer. I got called because I was the local only nurse around, and nothing was happening. I examined her and found the baby was in the breech position, which means it was presenting feet first, so very difficult to be born. We couldn't get her to the local hospital, and she didn't want to go. I examined her and felt her to see if we could turn the baby, but nothing was happening. So I asked Shoba, "Can I pray for you?" I prayed in a mixture of Nepali and English. And I prayed for her, because she was a Hindu. A few moments later, I checked again, and the baby had turned around. Within 5 minutes, a lovely, healthy baby girl was born. This was such a beautiful answer to prayer, and we all gave thanks to God. 2 weeks later, Shoma was back at work with her baby and a young girl to help.
Thank you. It's a good example because I would say, you know, in our country, we wouldn't rush to prayer as the only thing to do, because we know that we've got, you know, ultrasound equipment, we've got doctors and midwives who can bring skills to bear. So we would work with medical people. So we would pray, but we would let the medics do what they can do too. But in situations where you haven't got that, you know, potentially this is life-threatening, and prayer seemed to be effective. Now, another example, more up-to-date, and here, Margaret.
Many of you will probably remember 3-4 years ago that my hands were absolutely covered with eczema. I was allergic to various different things, couldn't isolate them to heal them, and creams and things weren't working. But I was on prayer ministry with Jane one Sunday, and she said at the end of it, "Can I pray for your hands?" Which she did, a very short, simple prayer. But within 2 months, the hands absolutely cleared. And as you can see, they have remained that way. So thank you, Jane, and thank you, God.
Two different examples, you know, one a long way away, one here, one further back in time, one more recent. I didn't want to get stuck with too many things that happened elsewhere or necessarily a long time in the past, because that can make us think that God never does things today, and he still does. Does the Holy Spirit still heal today? Well, I don't see any evidence that suggests that a few selected people were gifted to heal at the beginning of the growth of Christianity. We read that Jesus gave his disciples power and authority to preach and to heal in Luke 9, but others in the early church healed without such a clear impartation as we read of there. There's evidence that people are healed or their lives physically changed through prayer today, but it certainly isn't all. So I would say that the more defining factor was that in the early church, we often read of all the people being healed. Certainly in Jesus' case, you know, all the people, we keep reading that word all. But these days, it certainly isn't all. And that's maybe something we need to question and wonder about. Who has God's power to heal today? Well, I believe there are some people who have a particular gift to operate a ministry of healing. I think there are relatively few of these people, and to my knowledge, there isn't such a person at St. James at the moment, although we've heard two instances this morning of Jane praying for people who've received healing or correction, if you don't want to consider the moving of a breech baby in the womb as a healing. I believe there could be. I believe we could have someone with a gift of healing amongst us. And if you believe that you do have that gift, do come and talk to me afterwards, because I've obviously missed it. But I do also think that any person who believes in Jesus Christ and prays in faith in his name could be instrumental in bringing about a healing in someone, which comes about through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Let's just think about that for a moment. The person sitting next to you could pray for you to be healed. Their prayer is answered, and you're healed by the power of God. We can all pray for someone to be healed and trust God that he will answer our prayer. Many people have prayed for Rachel in the last 2 weeks, and her recovery from the bleed in her brain has been significantly better than might have been the case. I suppose those who have faith would say that that's connected to it. Maybe her doctors would just say, well, you know, it's been much better than we might have hoped for, but they wouldn't attribute a cause. I firmly believe that God has blessed human beings with curiosity. We have the desire to find out about things around us and how they work. So we're blessed to have discovered many things about how our bodies work, about how we can promote health and healing. So what about the role of medicine in healing people? Well, we're fortunate in the UK to have a great health service, access to doctors and consultants, medication and surgery. I think we should therefore use these God-given gifts and knowledge to help us keep people healthy and heal them of sickness. Let me give you a practical example, and I'll keep it personal. I suffer from headaches, and I see nothing wrong with taking paracetamol to alleviate them. In a bad week, I might wake up 3 or 4 times in the week with a headache and take paracetamol for it. Now, I'm very happy for Pam to pray with me for my headache, for headaches to stop, not get in the way of what I have to do that day. But I don't feel that if I take painkillers, I'm telling God that I don't trust him. God has enabled us to have painkillers, so why shouldn't we use them when we need them? I'm a both and sort of person. But I would advocate that if you receive prayer for a condition that requires medication and you believe you've been healed, that you should go and see your doctor about things before stopping taking your medication. You know, let's be wise. You know, some things it's very difficult to tell if we've been healed. I think if you sit in a big gathering where someone is asking for people to stand up with particular medical conditions, often they will choose things like backache, because they're things that can be evidenced fairly quickly that people are feeling a considerable measure of improvement. You know, it's much harder to be sure, for example, if someone prays for you, that your cholesterol has dropped. But it's true, you know, we can only check that out by going and having a blood test. That's not to say you can't be healed of high cholesterol through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's possible. But you keep on taking the statins until there's evidence to the contrary. So it's both and. We use medicine and the gift of doctors and nurses and medication and all that we have here in the UK, but we can pray for healing too. So how do we do this ministry of healing? Well, if there's one thing we learn from the Gospels, it's this. There's no single way that Jesus healed people. Jesus healed pretty much everyone that came to him and asked for healing. Here are a few examples. Peter's mother-in-law was healed as soon as Jesus took her hand. But the 10 lepers didn't receive their healings until after they left Jesus and were returning to where they'd come. Jesus healed a servant's ear by touching it. But the woman with a hemorrhage was healed when she crept up and touched Jesus' cloak. Jairus' daughter was restored to life immediately when Jesus called her. But Jesus had to touch a blind man in Bethsaida twice before he could see clearly. The centurion's servant was healed over a considerable distance just by Jesus' word. Sometimes Jesus forgave someone's sin before he healed them. Other times he said sin had had no part in it. Sometimes Jesus delivered people of a demon before he healed them. In Acts, we read of people being healed by Peter's shadow falling on them or a handkerchief being taken to them. So there's no clear pattern. So what do we do? Well, here's a model of sorts, And I lifted this from this book, Miracle Work, by Jordan Seng. Jordan Seng spoke at New Wine this year through the morning in the main arena. And here was a model that he's put in his book. One, locate a sick person. Two, place a hand on the person's shoulder and say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. That's why I call it a method of sorts. It's more or less the model that we use for prayer ministry here at St. James, at New Wine, and most places where I've ministered. There are some refinements. I would always advocate that a man prays for a man and a woman for a woman. If there are two people praying together, a man and a woman praying together for someone else always works, doesn't it? So that would be my best pairing if you've got the choice. I'd always ask someone if it's okay to put my hand on their shoulder before I pray. And if someone has, for example, a pain in their lower back, I might ask if I can put my hand there when I pray. There will clearly be places where it would not be appropriate to place your hand. So that's not vital. We may pray a longer prayer than in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I will often invite the Holy Spirit to come in power and then wait. But it's essential to remember that what we're doing is not something magical, and it isn't even about us. It's the power of God working through his Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ. So it's all about God and not all about us. I would also observe that we should never indicate to someone that they will be healed if their faith is strong enough. There were plenty of people that Jesus prayed for who didn't have faith for their healing. I'm pretty sure that Jairus' daughter being dead was not being faithful at that point. Now, it may be helpful and fitting to pray for healing when there is a strong sense of faith and expectation in the place where you are, but it's not down to the person seeking healing. We need to use language carefully. If I were to say, well, I don't expect God is going to heal, but here goes anyway, I'm setting up the situation for nothing to happen. Healing is more about a flow of power than the faith of the sick person or our own. It's about God's power at work. So our part is to facilitate the power of the Holy Spirit to flow into someone who needs healing and allow the Spirit to bring about the change. We may need to pray more than once. Jesus prayed twice on one occasion that's recorded. And it may be over a longer time scale, and the healing may be partial rather than full. I'm going to give you a very brief example of my own, and this is, again, quite old. But we had a visiting speaker come and talk at our church when I was just an ordinary teacher in Bracknell. Well, I like to think I was extraordinary, but there you go. And one of the things on the Sunday morning service that the visiting speaker spoke about was prayer for healing. So Pam and I went out at the end of the service to ask for prayer for Tom, our older lad. At the time, he was about two. He'd been found to have a heart murmur. He had a VSD, a heart defect, on a severity a scale of 7 out of 10. Carried a card. If ever he needed dental treatment, he would have to have antibiotics because he obviously couldn't get an infection that might attack this hole in his heart. And they would review surgery when he reached the age of 5. OK, He was too small, they considered, to do anything about it at the time. We went out. Our faith levels were high. We wanted prayer for this to be healed. We didn't get the visiting speaker to pray with us. You know, he was obviously going to be the most anointed person, but we got one of the church wardens. So we prayed with Bob and didn't think too much about it, to be honest. And then when Tom was five, he went for his checkup at the hospital and they did the tests and so on. And the consultant ripped up his card saying, well, he won't need this. You know, sometimes, you know, a small child, you know, up to the age of about 18 months, you know, VSD will heal itself, but it's pretty unusual for it to happen, you know, once they've passed that stage. But, you know, it's almost miraculous. Well, we were quite happy with that. So, you know, I just offer that. I most of the time forget that it even happened, because I think we often do that. I think we receive miraculous things from God and forget. But Tom was, you know, happy to play rugby through his school and university career, you know, and do all sorts of things that he would have quickly got out of breath from had that not healed up. In my experience, there are a few people who are healed when we pray for healing, but it's by no means all. And I can't really explain that. I could get into talking about partially realized eschatology, but I don't want my sermon to get that heavy or that long this morning. It's not all, but it isn't none either. And if we didn't pray for anyone to be healed, then I think the answer would probably be we'd see no healings. So we need to pray. There are people who have a significant healing ministry, such as Alan Scott, who leads the Causeway Coast Vineyard Church in Northern Ireland. And his ministry is surrounded by a significant number of healings. And you will see people healed at major Christian gatherings like New Wine and Soul Survivor. Why do more happen there? I don't know. Maybe the level of faith in the room is higher so that the Holy Spirit can flow into people and bring about healing. If you're interested in finding out more about prayer ministry and prayer for healing, there is a training course at Woodley Baptist Church on November the 26th with a team from Poole that I know of. And I've been in a session where they've led. So if you think you might want to go and find out if this is a ministry you'd like to be involved in, please speak to Jane after the service and she can point you in the right direction or get you booked in for that. I think at the time of speaking, we've got more people booked in than any other single church. So there you go. Lots more questions you could ask. Tackle me afterwards. There may be people who've got significant health issues here now who would like to receive healing this morning. And we're going to facilitate that in our time of worship and after the service. I think I might mention that we did have some words before the service at this point. So I'm going to share those now. This one's dear to my heart. A flower. A bee looking for nectar. I was stung by a bee yesterday. It's still red and sore, even you know, over 24 hours later, which puzzles me. But the bee is looking for nectar, and in the first flower, it doesn't find sufficient. It moves to another flower, and it moves to another flower. It keeps going. It keeps looking. You might identify with that this morning. Possibly looking through a window from inside, looking out, maybe like a child looking out, seeing other children playing and wanting to be able to go and join in. I don't know what the reason is for why that child feels unable to join in. Maybe you identify with that. And then a picture of a road with rocks, sharp stones, potholes, a difficult road to walk, but someone is struggling along it with a goal in view, and they're going to keep going. Now, if any of those mean anything to you or resonate in some way, do seek prayer. And Margaret's going to come out in a moment and direct us in this next part. Let me just pray. Thank you, Father, that you promised that your Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people. That's the reading that we had from Joel the other week. You pour out your Spirit on all people, your sons and daughters, the young and the old. Thank you for the gift of healing, and Lord, we ask that you would bless us with seeing more healings in our fellowship, and that we might have a greater openness to see you at work through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.